It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumman.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. Oh, there they are. So happy to see our studio audience again for the fantastical, wonderful journey that is lovingly known as Product Genius with the star of the show, Tiffany Krumman. Hey, we've got a weird, crazy, historic reopening of the American economy going on right underneath our noses, and we're going to talk about it with one of our geniuses, Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start. But before we get to him, it's her show. Her name's on the marquee, so she gets the first word. Welcome in, Tiffany Krumman. Hello there, Tiffany.
It's never an exciting first word. I don't know. It's like, well, hi, good afternoon. I stopped saying good afternoon, good morning.
So you did. Good. You're doing so good. And yeah. The reason why you get the first word is, I think, after many months of teasing, after many months of me being scolded on and off the air for trying to get you to talk about it, I believe your next product is ready to be talked about on the air. Am I correct in that?
Yes. I won't say the name of it because we don't have the website up yet, but It's basically a reinvented picture hanging tool.
Love
it. It came through the product innovation search that we did last year that Mom Genius did. And a piece of that design basically came through that. And we worked with that inventor on a licensing deal so that we could further develop it into a full product, which we've done with Noah. Actually, Noah was our engineer on that product. And it's recently landed and we're going to launch it soon.
So we're going to drag this tease out we'll say the name of the product as soon as the website's ready to go.
Right.
But and one thing that many people listening to this show and many people in the world can all agree on is hanging pictures has its issues.
Yeah.
So at least one of those issues is going to be dealt with this new product. So more details to follow, but just search Tiffany Krumman's and holy cow, I can't get this picture to hang right. That'll come up. Or some derivation of that, and you'll find the website. So thank you for that news.
Sure.
And you told me, you warned me last time we talked about it. It was like, Stephen, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I never want to tell those kind of things if there's no website, because people will obviously go Google and they can't find it.
But I think you thought that I would walk out of this show and never come back if I couldn't say something about it this time. So we'll keep talking about that as it'll be, maybe we'll do our own show about it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I definitely wanted to break it on the show where Noah is, because Noah helped you with that product, as Noah helps so many people.
Actually faced some of the challenges that we are going to discuss today.
Nice. So Noah McNeely with Product Quick Start. Noah, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So as is now becoming very famous on all of your appearances as the genius around the table who helps with developing people's products and helping people get their product to market either better, quicker, more efficiently, or more effectively to build a business around it. We have these wonderful ongoing email conversations where we talk about what are we going to talk about? And we started down a nice road of some 80s theme movie type shows.
We're going to come back to that.
Absolutely. We already have potentially, and we were already talking about the next one.
The 80s aren't going anywhere.
That's right. The 80s will always be there. And as long as we're in the most powerful demographic with our spending dollars, we get to talk about them because they're top of mind and retro is cool. So something very unique happened. Something interesting happened on the way to the show this month, and it's kind of this reopening theme of the economy and some of the things that are happening, especially around the topic of inflation and the cost of goods and services. So you kind of, and to use a 90s reference, you said, hey, can we pivot?
I'd like to interject just a bit on what you
said. It's your show. You can do whatever you want.
Yes, the economy is reopening to most people, but for Noah and I and all the product development people, we've been developing this whole time, you know, all through COVID. I see this, and Noah may disagree, but I see this as more of like the aftermath of what's happened with COVID. It's like COVID hit, all these things happened, and now we're trying to kind of get back out of it, and it's the aftermath, right?
So,
Sort of. I have a different analogy. We'll get to it in a minute.
But, so my
analogy involves an elephant.
Oh,
nice.
I'll take
good
it.
Tease. So what we decided to, and what you kind of suggested was, hey, we're in the middle of this very unique moment in time, and it's causing some unique issues and problems or opportunities, mm-hmm. depending on how you look at it, depending on the part of the topic that we're talking about. So how's that for the setup of, we're not quite sure where we're going to go. We're just going to have a conversation. So this is three business owners. This is three business people. I'm a financial advisor who kind of understands economics and the way of the markets. Tiffany is someone who's brought products to market. You are someone, Noah, who's been around the development of products and business. So we're just going to kind of talk about it. So let me ask it this way and kick it off this way, Noah. What were some of the thoughts you had, or what were some of the things you were noticing that made you go, all right, I think I'm going to table this one topic and we might want to talk about this?
Well, I started having a lot of conversations with clients about a variety of different things. And frankly, it first started with a client of mine that has magnets in their product for whatever reason. Well, actually, I know exactly the reason. Magnets were hit really hard early on. And that was partly due to the COVID situation and partly due to some cultural revolution stuff happening in Myanmar, which I'm sure I didn't pronounce correctly.
Myanmar. When you say hit, do you mean they're unavailable, the cost of them go way up,
the cost all of the above skyrocketed because of the supply chain has broken down?
Yep.
It's starting to recover, but those rare earth magnets, the really powerful little magnets, they're mined in Myanmar and mostly in a few other places, but Myanmar's gone through a political upheaval. Mm-hmm. And so people in China that produce stuff with, and elsewhere that produce stuff with these magnets can't get them or couldn't get them reliably. So the price just skyrocketed.
Got it.
That was the first little blip I saw related to this, but now it's spread
early over last year.
A few months ago. So now it's spread over into everything.
Yep.
Even stuff that is not related to political uprisings.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Because and so there's an economist that I follow in my line of work who made the comment back in late March, early April, when COVID was at its height and we had shut down. He said, guys, mark my words. He did a weekly call with those of us in the industry. And he said, you cannot shut down an entire economy. This is not a light switch in your bathroom that you turn it on and it just comes back on. He said, and he gave the analogy of an old gym where he grew up and you flip the light switch and you'd hear this boom and it would just start. It's still dark, but then you get a little bit of light and a little bit of light and a little bit. And he goes, and it took, 5 minutes for the lights to quote unquote warm up. And he said, that's what this is going to be like. So apart from magnets, what are some of the other practical things, and I'm opening this up to both of you, what are some of the things you're seeing that is an obstacle or a hurdle in the product development world?
Well, I mean, the raw material pricing has gone up dramatically. There is a labor shortage. It's not just in the U.S. It seems to be fairly global, and that relates to everything from the people on the floor that are producing your product to the people transporting the product. We have a friend, colleague that can't get his product on ships because of the labor shortage at the docks in a particular place.
Yeah, so the boat might be there, but the manpower to get it on the boat and then back off the boat, even over here, say in California, is not there. And so products are sitting for months where they might have come in, a week's time.
And we've talked in past shows about getting that process through. We've had guests who talk about getting stuff here and the whole process of factories and shipping. And sometimes I think, Tiffany, we've told some stories or Noah, you've talked about how you've gone to China, and sometimes it's, you got to know how to negotiate with them, or you got to understand how the process works. This is unprecedented. And it's like, sorry, we can't help
you. No amount of money type thing. Yeah.
Cause we just don't have the workers.
Yeah. So, just to talk about Chinese factories, I work with some very good factories, and they are very apologetic that they have to raise costs. A colleague of mine that works with one of these factories, that works for one of these factories, her English name is Winnie. I don't know what her actual name is. I'm sure that's not it. Good friend of mine, we've been working together for a long time, and she produces a number of products for several of my clients. And we have this one product that's made largely of aluminum, and I had a conversation with her a week or two ago about how the price is going up, and they've absorbed as much of that as they can, but now they're at the breaking point where we have to pass this on. So I had to have that conversation with that client as well. And it's not just the cost of the aluminum. It's the cost of gasoline. It's the cost of shipping. It's the cost of everything is affected.
So when does this end? How bad can this get? Give me some.
I think it can get much worse.
But, so we're taping this at the end of May. It'll come out. So everybody's listening to this. If they're listening to it new, it's, let's say it's June, July. We're talking about the summer of 2021.
Right.
How long does so some of this is going to be relieved as those lights come on, if I use the gym analogy again, and or is this the now time for you to give your elephant analogy?
Yeah. So if the danger of making predictions and then someone listening to this in 2 months, it's like, oh, they were totally wrong. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So the caveat there is we can only give our opinions.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Yes, that's correct. Generally correct. So the elephant, imagine you have this very nice pond. It's very tranquil. The fish come up, they eat. The shoreline is very, very, you know, peaceful. And then an elephant comes running along and dives into the pond. So what happens is you have this great big wave that sweeps over the shoreline. I think that's 2020. That's your COVID. Everything changes. And when that happens, everybody has to adjust to that new normal. Now there's water everywhere, you know, mid ripple here. So the companies that are raw material suppliers, like the aluminum mines and all the way up to the people that make the aluminum stock that people make products out of, and the steel and the plastic and wood and everything else. All of a sudden, this new normal, people aren't buying all that stuff in 2020. So what happens? They've got all these employees that they can't keep busy, so they have to lay them off. And then what happens is the water recedes again, back into the middle of the pond. It actually recedes even further than it was originally. And I think that's kind of where we're at now, is now you've got, if I take those same fact, those same suppliers of raw materials, they couldn't flip that switch, like you were saying, and all those people suddenly reappear, because in the meantime, in the last year, those people have found other jobs, or they've gone on COVID relief assistance and they don't want a job, or any other variety of things. So now you've got a situation where, as a raw material supplier, I don't have enough workers to keep up with the demand, which is now also increased, because as that water receded back into the middle of the pond, the demand, all the pent-up demand that was, you know, the old new normal, is now back out again. So now, and all, like a whole year's worth of demand is out there saying, we want product, we want to make this, we want to make that. So not only do you have a supply problem, you've got a demand problem. So it's the basic economic law of supply and demand is there's just more demand for everything than there is the supply to provide it. And that applies across the board. It's gasoline, it's shipping containers, it's everything. So that all impacts the cost of everything you do. Now, back to the elephant. What happens when you throw something into a pool? You get that first big wave, and then it recedes, and then you're going to get more waves. And it's going to take a while to get that calm pond back. Yeah. And we're going to see ups and downs as we go through that. This is just me. You know, I'm not an economist. I'm just a guy that makes products. But I've seen a lot of this in the past. Eventually, we will get back to a still pond where, you know, everything's running smoothly. You can predict things. The bad news, or the news, is I think that water level is going to most likely be different than it was before the elephant jumped in. Is it going to be a little higher, a little lower? I don't know. Nobody knows. But my suspicion, based on other factors, all the spending that global governments did to combat COVID, those are all going to lead to inflationary forces, which are just going to drive prices up generally. So I think our new normal will ultimately be higher prices than what we saw a year ago, but probably lower than what we're seeing today.
Talk about a depressing conversation, right? I know I'm living it right now, but hearing Noah voice it, it's like, oh.
Well, so, but let me take what you just said. So inflation is not all bad.
No.
It's a reaction to the circumstances around it. Out of control inflation is bad. Mm-hmm. Inflation that goes too high too fast can be bad. There is this, because So I'm hearing, so you talked about the cost of raw materials. There's somebody I work with in a leads group who does roofing, and he said, hey, sheet of lumber that we use, mm-hmm. you know, last year mm-hmm. at this time, it was $7.50. This year it's $55 yep. net mm-hmm. price. And so he goes, I got to pass that on. And so far right now, the general economy is going fine. Bring it. I need it. And they can handle it. There comes this place where, number one, as production ramps back up, the cost of that should potentially come back down or at least level off. Or
you'll reach two things, I think, there. One, the people that are willing to say, I'll pay any price for it, they're going to eventually have their stuff done, and then you're going to be left with the people that are like, I'm not paying that for it. So you're going to have your supply-demand economic laws eventually take place. That's why I say there's going to be ripples up and down. I think it's going to go up and down until that finds its new level.
So here's the key. Here's the big question for both of you. So what do entrepreneurs, inventors, product-based business owners, are there adjustments that we need to be making? Are there opportunities we need to be looking for? Or is there, give us some advice as someone who's just what, as someone who brought a great analogy of an elephant, help me survive or make some money or help me figure out what I need to do next. Potentially.
I hope that we do see entrepreneurs step up into mm-hmm. some of these things, some of these industries that can be filled here in the US. The challenge with that is always the raw material. So right. if we don't have those here, we don't have those. Or if we can't get those from somewhere else, we just can't get
them. When you say industries, you're talking about manufacturing.
Yeah, manufacturing or finding other ways to make whatever it is that we're lacking. You know, if okay. someone right. comes up with a new innovation for a package that, you know, the yeah, product that we're missing.
And I don't think this is a country by country thing. I think this is really a global phenomenon in many ways, because I think domestic manufacturers also have supply chain issues and they have labor issues. You know, go back to the
unemployment.
This is not a political show, so I'm not going to go there.
That's
not
the truth.
So regardless of your beliefs on what causes what, let me just say that it's harder to find workers mm-hmm. generally.
And today than it has been in the past.
Than 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the workers you can find are often not the best workers that you want.
You're just hiring whoever
you can get. Now, you know, I took my kids to a famous fast food restaurant not long ago. And frankly, it was the worst. I've never seen service that bad. And it's just like, this particular individual, there are plenty of wonderful people in fast food. This particular individual, it was clear that she didn't want to be there. She didn't want to help us. And that's the best person they could find to run that particular shift. So,
yeah, and that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, so that's happening across the board. And we keep talking about depressing things. You asked, what can we do?
Let's make it positive.
So the first thing I think entrepreneurs and everyone needs to realize is this is happening to everyone. It's not just a crisis for you. So you are not singly being affected by this. So that's the first thing to consider. I think a piece of advice I would give someone trying to launch a product, or maybe someone who's already had a product on the market and now they're seeing those prices increase, be very careful about your business plan. Don't try to match today's costs that you're facing up with what the 2 year ago business plan said the market would bear for that product price wise, because bear in mind, everything is going up. Yeah. That's going to include your product as well. So if you did a business case analysis 2 years ago, and you know, you found out the market's will pay $19.99 for this, and now you've seen your costs double or whatever.
$18.99.
you don't have to look at that and say, oh, my business plan is dead. You really need to go back and look at those, what the market will pay for this numbers, because it's most likely very different today. Maybe that's $24.99 today. Maybe it's $29.99 today. So be very careful that you're not, be careful that you calibrate your business plan against both the good things and the bad things for your business right now. The good things are you can probably charge more. The bad thing is you're probably paying more.
Good. And also I would suggest, and please tell me if I'm wrong, you might need to be willing to have to raise that price for now, with the understanding that as the cost of things go back down, I'm going to be willing to drop it back down. But for right now, you know, this it is what it costs.
I'll tell you, it was kind of positive for Ava the Elephant. We're relaunching Ava under a new brand that is licensing her, and the pricing went up. You know, on our most recent order, the pricing was higher than it was. And at first I had a little bit of panic because it's like, there's not a lot of margin on this product already. But it caused us to reevaluate the pricing on the product in general. And we looked at competing products and realized we had really underpriced. We were at a $12.99 price point, and we really needed to be closer to $14.99 because all of the similar medicine type products that were much more simple, just basic, you know, pieces of plastic, were in that price range. So it was a good thing for us because it causes us to do exactly what you just said, should this price be readjusted. And it allowed us to make up for that increase.
I also tend to think that crises like this are great opportunities for entrepreneurs
and
inventors. You know, when you have a crisis like this, you know, that is an opportunity to innovate. And it doesn't necessarily, innovation, people often think of that as creating something totally new. It's like, oh, I'm going to go invent something brand new. In most cases, innovation is just reinventing something you already do. You make it cheaper, you make it better. Let's say you look at that and your cost is like that product you were paying $5 for, now you're paying $8 for, and you're like, well, I still don't think my market's going to pay what I need to charge for that. So then you go back and you redesign it. You find a way to get it back down to $5, still be a great product, and yet still meet that market
demand.
Packaging
is a perfect example. That's what comes to mind for me. I can see entrepreneurs trying to come up with new solutions for packaging. If they can't get the right plastics for, you know, injection molded clamshells, and they want to be more eco-friendly, maybe this is going to cause them to be creative and think of a new way to package stuff, you know? Yep. So it's like one of many ways you could reinvent things.
I'll throw something out that neither of you have said, and you, again, shout me down or tell me I'm nuts, but I'm thinking of that entrepreneur inventor who's at the very beginning stages, the one who's listening to this show, who's listening to you, Tiffany, who's taking your course on your website. Noah has thought about reaching out to you and filling out that thing and think, okay, I'm going to have that first conversation. And I've got an idea and I've got a prototype. You know what? With everything that's going on and with the very unique economic situation that we're in right now, it might be the best thing for you to shelve your idea. This might not be the best time to launch. This might be the best. Right now, there are corporations and organizations and groups that are going to pay top dollar to find the right person to help them with a particular project or help them with getting reopened and back in. And I know that's non-entrepreneurial to say,
no, but the
right decision might be, you know what? I got somebody, I know I've got this contact or this person is looking for my engineering skill or my, this skill or whatever. I'm going to go get paid well.
It might be a blessing in disguise. I've what you're describing is happening with somebody I know personally. She licensed a product that she invented. It's a colander that you basically pull the sides and the bottom drops open. It's a trap door colander. So you're not pouring it sideways and burning your hand and whatnot. And she did a fantastic licensing deal. It sold millions of dollars worth of product, left that licensing deal eventually and decided, you know, to take the IP back. And she was going to launch it herself. She's kind of back and forth on whether or not she's going to do that right now. But the cost of goods and all of these things started to come into play. And she's like, she has a husband with Parkinson's. I mean, just tons of stuff on her plate. And basically said, I don't know. I don't know if I want to launch this myself. I think I might go back into licensing with a different company. So yeah, I definitely think it's going to save some people, hopefully, from, you know, going into debt and doing all the things they do.
I'm not the shout down kind of guy, but
this is your version of it.
The converse of that is in some cases, this might be the perfect time to launch a new product, especially if your product can take advantage of the situation. Maybe it is a less expensive way to do something. Maybe there's a, maybe, you know, there are unique problems that we have today. I mean, last year it was all about every, you know, I got 40 calls about designing a new face mask. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were all basically the same. Right. So like, and most of them were like, I want to pay you to come up with a new face mask. It's like, you don't have an idea.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
One plus is maybe you can manufacture it here now when you couldn't before. Maybe it's cheaper here than it was.
That's right.
You know, overseas.
Potentially. I mean, it could be any number of things. The world is always different than it was the day before. It's just right now we're more different than we were 2 years ago than on average, but there are new opportunities out there. Another thing I would say is, and we've talked about this before, but entrepreneurs, inventors are in a position to be able to adapt, but more importantly, adapt quickly than sometimes bigger companies can. especially if your product's not even on the market right now. You can adapt it a lot before you release it. Even if it's on the market, you can adapt it. You can adapt how you sell it, where you sell it, you know, what the makeup of it is. If you go back to like the whole dinosaur analogy, everybody always uses, you know, the when the asteroid crashed into the Chicxulub Peninsula, the Yucatan Peninsula. I'm sure I murdered that pronunciation. What happened? The dinosaurs weren't killed by the impact. They were killed because they couldn't adapt fast enough. Didn't wipe out all life on Earth, but you know, a dinosaur, it takes a long time to grow a dinosaur. So they couldn't naturally select. By the time you get the next batch of dinosaurs, you've already had 30 generations of mice that have adapted. So those type of creatures could adapt and adapt very quickly. And that's the key, is the quickly. However, I would also say that unlike animals like mice who are prisoners to their instincts, we as human beings, we can be more strategic about how we adapt. So you as an entrepreneur, now is a perfect time to take a full step back and rethink your whole business plan and adapt that business plan around the realities of the world today.
So we started this and said that we might be all moaning and complaining the whole time, but we're saying, much like entrepreneurs or thinking like entrepreneurs, where's the opportunity?
Yes.
What is before me that only I can do? And maybe it is to not step out of corporate world or go back or find an opportunity to cover my bills if my dream I can't adjust or adapt. But maybe it's to do something completely different. How many times have we talked to product-based businesses where, well, I was going to do this, but then I shifted over to this. And so they kind of find what works for them. And you're right. We have talked on this show. You have talked about how entrepreneurs have the ability to be very nimble, very quick. They can adjust and adapt.
They can pivot.
There you go. Pivot. So I like that. And everybody's different, right?
Every situation is unique. And I think what's interesting about the time period we're going through right now is it's forcing many of us to do things we should be doing anyway. And that is a fairly consistent reevaluation of our business plan, our business model, our goals. I think a lot of times people get stuck back to the calm pond. You know, the pond is calm, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. But then you're missing that opportunity potentially to grow, to adapt, to evolve, to be stronger. But now we've got that elephant jumped in the pond. So now we're being forced to reevaluate things. But that's something we should probably do every couple of years anyway. So this could be a great opportunity for people to start over their ideas about what they're going to do in the future.
So the challenge is, what are you going to do about what's in front of you? How are you going to take advantage, or how are you going to adjust to the opportunity that is before you?
And some of this is just getting through. I mean, like you said, the company we were referring to that I'm connected to, they're just waiting on product. There's not much of anything they can do right now.
Right.
I mean, they're literally just stuck. They've gotten creative with things. I know they've got this particular company has a wagon, a children's wagon, and people were demanding specific colors. And so they got creative and said, we have other color swatches. We have the other fabric for these other colors. So if you buy this color we have in stock, we'll give you the fabric pack and you swap it out. And so you'll get two for one, you know, so that having to kind of really think outside the box and survive basically during this rough season.
Yeah. It's not just about your product design. It's really about your whole business. How do you adapt that?
I like it. I like it. All right. So have we gotten to a good stopping point, or is there other words of wisdom?
Yeah, we've talked about elephants, we've talked about dinosaurs.
You shouted me down in your own wonderful way.
Yeah, I think bottom line is it's not the end of the world. You know, the world's going to keep going.
But we can see it from here.
We can see the end of the world from here. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the old joke about rural southern Alabama. It's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there.
Maybe it is the end of the world, and I just feel fine about it.
There you go. Nice 90s reference. And actually, we kind of did, but didn't make a political statement. And now the end of the world, I apparently made a semi-religious statement. So, boy, we have just covered all the things.
You've done too much.
I like that. Well, I don't know why that scares people. So anyway, so for those people who want to pivot, adjust, and really develop their product-based business, they should go to productquickstart.com.
Yep. Yes.
There is a contact us form. There's also great. So one of the things we don't talk about enough on your appearances, there is some fantastic information. If you're waiting on your shipment to come from China and it's not coming anytime soon because of the backup there, because of the labor, go to productquickstart.com and read the blogs, read the free information, read all the stuff that Noah and Don through the years have written that'll help you, you know, kind of learn about developing your own product. It's all free and it's all there. All you got to do is read. But then after you do that, or halfway through it, or at any point in time, there's a contact us form. Don't just put your name and number. Give some basic idea. Answer the questions. It shouldn't take more than an hour of your time. It's certainly worth it because once they do that, once they turn that in, Noah, you will get back to them. That is a guarantee.
Yes. It's unless you're a Russian bot. Correct. I will get back to you. I get one of those a week.
That guarantee does not apply to people who only put their email and phone number and don't answer the questions.
Right. I mean, I'll do my best to get back to you. I'm very busy, but hey, I'm a nice guy. Well, you know, if you have questions about your product, I'll spend a few minutes on the phone.
And he
with
wants
you.
All of that information, not to steal your idea and run with it.
Right.
That's what everybody thinks.
I've got plenty
he wants
of my
to
own
be
ideas.
Prepared.
To work on.
Yeah. Believe me, I know he does.
Hey, can you develop a face mask for me?
We're mid-project on something Noah and I came up with for, a year and a half now?
Yeah, that's what I call the wouldn't it be great crowd. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if there were a face mask made out of titanium? Would be great.
Lower your voice. We need more vegan options.
We do need more vegan options.
We need more face mask options.
Yes. A vegan face mask would be great.
That would work because I don't eat anything vegan, so it would work perfectly. I could take it into the restaurants and I wouldn't eat anything.
We're
so,
not anti-vegan, by the way, Steve. I am. Just mentioning
productquickstart.com. Noah, thank you so much for being on the show and being our genius. Tiffany, TiffanyKrumans.com. One of the other things I highlighted very quickly and very briefly, you offer a great little introduction to developing your own product-based business. Talk about that.
I do. I put together a course. It's basically structured like a guide through product development. It's not every detail you'll ever need. It's not every detail for every product, but it basically tells you from start to finish up through licensing or acquisition, what you might expect. And the goal of that is for those who have never launched a product that go, what exactly am I getting myself into if I do this? They can take this course that's quite cheap and basically come in, look through it all and go, yes, I want to take this on and go down this path, work with someone like Noah and develop a product, or no way am I going to even consider that.
So can I be the genius of marketing slightly? It's not cheap. It's a great value.
That's right.
It's cost optimized.
Oh, nice. And if they go to your website, TiffanyKrumans.com, and they put in the code word Steven, you charge them twice the price.
That's right. That's
Is that right? Just to be slightly annoying. So go to TiffanyKrumans.com, go to productquickstart.com. One other website we need to mention, JodySmith.com. Jody's our producer. He is the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with. He
Bouncy.
Brought, and it worked.
Yes. Look how smart we are.
All right. So for Jody and for Noah and for Tiffany, this is your slightly annoying co-host, Steven Julian. I can't tell you my website because compliance won't allow me, but search my name, Financial Advisor. You'll find out more about what I do. We'll catch you next time on Product Genius.